What kind of givers does God like?
Cheerful,
joyful. Amen. I want to read you a scripture tonight in Matthew chapter 11. That was good worship, wasn't it? I sense that God's gentleness is here tonight. I may not scream and fight bees, but you know there's a gentleness here. There's a gentleness of the Father. And in Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, Jesus is talking here, and he said, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knows the Son but the Father, neither knows any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." You know, Jesus wants to reveal himself to us tonight. Maybe you know him, but he wants to take you a little deeper. Can you hear deep calling unto deep? Amen? He wants to take you deeper. Now notice what he said in verse 28. "For those that want a revelation, come to me." Come to the Lord. "All you that labor and are heavy laden," and he's going to give you what? So if you're heavy laden and you're laboring tonight, what do you got to do? Well, you got to come to him. And as you come to him, how do you come to him? You just make yourself available. Say, God, say this with me. Say, God, here I am. In your house, listening to your word, I come to you. Now I receive your rest. He said, "I will give you rest." Notice, he said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." Sometimes we got to learn how to rest. We're good at doing activity, but are we good at resting? You don't think resting is beneficial? Well, your body sure does. You know, if you make your body stay up long enough, it will shut down. It'll make you rest. Now, how is the Lord's yoke? Notice this. "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is what? And my burden is what?" If your burden is heavy, then maybe the Lord didn't give it to you. Maybe you took it upon yourself. Right there, Jesus is talking. He didn't say, "My burden is heavy." My burden will, he said, he didn't say, "Under my burden, it'll flatten you like a pancake." He said, "My yoke is easy and my burden is light." So if you're walking around all heavy, maybe you need to ask the Lord, "Lord, what did I take on myself that you didn't give me?" Because whatever the Lord gives you, there's grace to do it. And grace is his strength, his ability, his power, his favor, his goodness. So, you ready to trade in your heaviness tonight? God wants to give you an upgrade. You've been carrying around that heaviness for too long. Try something light on. Try something that fits like a glove, that's just right. Lift up those heavy hands. Hey, hallelujah. He'll break the chains. You know, when you got chains on you, you can't lift your heavy hand. Chains are heavy. Amen. He removes chains. He lightens the load. He makes your easy and light. That's the burden of the Lord. No heavy. He, the Bible said in Hebrews, anything that's heavy, you're supposed to lay aside. Every weight. A weight is heavy. You know, I can just see a marathon runner carrying 5 pounds of weight on their side. You know, how come you never see that? Why? Because... So If it's heavy, you need to lay it aside. If it's light, you need to walk in it. Amen? Are you ready to do some work tonight? Not just any work, but the Lord's work. Who's here to do the Lord's work? If you're here to do the Lord's work, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of John, chapter 14. So glad that you've joined us here tonight. We're going to have a good time in the Lord. Amen? I'm not ashamed of anything in the gospel. Whether it be joy, dancing, laughing. You know what? Some of you just need to laugh a little bit more. Amen? That's, you know what? You know, one good way to lighten your heavy load is laughter. You know, there'd be times in my life that I have what I call laughing spells. You know, an epileptic has seizures, but I have laughing spells. And I've had laughing spells in a lot of different places. On a bus, in restaurants, in church, at home. Amen? And you'll notice something, that when you laugh, burdens can't attach themselves to you. It's like taking a rubber ball and throwing it against the wall. It bounces right back. Amen? And that's why the Lord said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can laugh, not because of your circumstances, but because of Him. Amen? Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. We got to stir up some joy a little bit. Amen? There's some joy. There's pockets of joy, you know, like a fountain. When you turn it on, it starts shooting up joy. You know, sometimes it's like one of those old you can tell I rode motorcycles. You know, the motorcycles that you got to kick to start. Sometimes you give it a kick, it goes, run, 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 run. But it hadn't started yet. So sometimes you got to give it another kick. Run, 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 run. Didn't start again. So give it another. You know what? I'm just giving you guys a kick. Run, run. But then you go, run. Ha, ha, ha.
You're blowing that over us.
Ha, ha. Ha, 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 ha. Go to Psalms 126 for a minute. Psalm 126. You know, with God's gentleness and His yoke is easy and His burden is light. May I borrow your Bible for just a second, please? This is not in my notes, so I didn't intend to do this. This is extra, won't charge you anything else for it. It's included in the price, amen? Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captivity, some of you need to be brought back from captivity. And you know what? If you read, Job got brought back from captivity. That's when he got twice as much added to him than what he lost. So you guys ready to get some stuff back? When the Lord brought me the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then our mouth was filled with what?
Laughter.
And our tongue with singing. Then said they among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are glad. Then he prays, bring back our captivity, O Lord, as the streams in the south. Those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. He who continually goes forth weeping, bearing for seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Father, right now, I just thank you, Lord, for a release of your joy. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, rasati ramoko sanda rabaso toroka sanda. Irabaka sanda. New wine. New wine. Woo, new wine's got potency. New wine's got power. Oh, new wine will make you a little tipsy in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Just receive right now the new wine in Jesus' name. Just see yourself drinking from God's cup. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Ha, ha, ha. Woo. I'm just going to take a laughing break for a minute. Woo! Hallelujah. Oh, it's like medicine. Now, come on, take your medicine. Well, I don't feel like laughing. Laugh anyway. Didn't ask you how you felt? Didn't ask you how you felt. Ha, ha, ha. Woo! You let the Holy Ghost stir the waters. Woo! Oh, see, it's contagious. Hallelujah. See, that's just a little sugar for the medicine to go down. Hallelujah. See? You see how that makes your burdens go? Amen. You find John 14 yet? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at John 14. I'm trying to get there. Verse 7. I haven't even preached, but I'm already happy. Woo! If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. From henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Now, it's okay to laugh. That's fine. God's just doing some work. Man, we had such a good time in church tonight. We just laughed and laughed. And Philip said unto the Lord, verse 8, show us the Father. Now Jesus just got done saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've known me, you know the Father. Philip said, show us the Father. He might have been from Missouri. Show us. And it suffices us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how do you say then, show us the Father? Jesus was the exact replica, the identical representation of the Father on the earth. If you'd have seen Jesus walk, if you'd have heard him speak, he was the perfect representative of the Father. He came to demonstrate the Father's will. He came to show us how to carry out the Father's will and live a victorious life here on earth. You know, he lived a perfect life for 33 and a half years. Didn't commit one sin. Didn't say one ill word. He governed his thoughts, actions, and deeds with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Never got flustered. Even when he woke up out of a sound sleep in the boat, you know, he said, how long shall I be with you? But then he calmed the storm anyway. So if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. You're looking at the Father's family tree right now. Okay? Verse 10, believest thou not that I am in the Father? And the Father, do you believe that Jesus is in the Father? And the Father's in him? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwells in me, He does the works. Everybody say the works. Now, what the works mean to me, there was a place in Illinois in my hometown called the Igloo. And it was known for its pork sandwiches. Fried pork sandwiches. And if you were to get a pork sandwich, you would say, I want it with the works. Now, the works meant everything on the sandwich. Ketchup, mustard, pickles, onions, and whatever else. You know that when God does works, He's thinking about an all-inclusive. Everything included. Everything that He wants to do is all in His works. God's going to do some works tonight. Amen? But are you going to believe? Your part is the believing. God's part is the doing. And you don't have to worry how it's going to get done. You just have to know that God's going to do it. And however, you know, you would say, well, why would God make us laugh? Because He doesn't want to see His children look like they just got out of pickle juice. Not saying that they're in pickle juice, but you understand what I'm saying. He just needs us to relax tonight. Say, I'm relaxed tonight. That's just what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Amen? Verse 11. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the what? The work's sake. Verse 12. Verily, verily, Jesus is saying, truly, truly. You know, when He repeats something twice, it's going to happen. I say unto you, he that believes on me. So what's the qualification? Believe on Him. All right? If you want to experience the works of the Father, all you have to do is believe on Jesus. Mm-mm-mm. Believe on me, he that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do what? Also. Do you know that when you put your faith in Jesus, you get to do what he did? Does that mean I could stand in front of a grave and call the dead man raised? Yeah. If the Holy Spirit leads you. Yes, you can. Smith Wigglesworth, he had about 15 people raised from the dead. He was a minister in the 1920s and 30s. He was from England, had an eighth grade education. He was a plumber, and he had about 15 or so people raised from the dead. Let's read that again. Verily, verily, truly, truly, who's talking here? Jesus. Is what Jesus said the truth? Are you fully convinced that this applies to you today? Yes. Amen. I'm in the right place tonight. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believes on me, the works that I do shall he do also, just like him. Why? Because it's ultimately him going to be doing the works through you. God just needs a vessel. How many get their water from a well? Where you have to go and get it from a bucket. You have to throw the bucket down, bring up the water. You know, that's a lot of work. Thank God for the plumbers that invented the faucet. All you got to do is turn the faucet and turn it on and the water comes out. But you know what? If it wasn't for that faucet, it'd be a lot harder to get the water. You're the faucet, but God is the water. And just let him, when you get turned on to Jesus, he will flow through you. The works that I do, he shall do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And you know what the greater works is? Because you got to do it by faith. He's not here physically. Oh, he's here by his Spirit. Amen? And how many think, you know, How many healings have taken place in this earth since Jesus rose from the dead? I bet they're multiplied. You know, Jesus only walked the earth for 3.5 years, and the Bible said if everything that he did was recorded, you couldn't have enough books in the world. Now, if he could do that in 3.5 years, how much more can we do with the amount of time? A lot of people, I mean, there's a lot of people that walk on the earth a lot more than 33 years. So we have a lot more time to do the works of Jesus. And all you got to do to do the works of Jesus is just believe in him. Just trust him. Just embrace him. Just make yourself available. Don't be afraid to lay hands on the sick and pray for them. Even if it's in Walmart. Even if it's in a public place. So the works that Jesus did are works that you and I can do. Notice he didn't say only the preachers can do the works. He said those who believe in him. And look at verse 14. Well, verse 13. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, it might get done. Is that what he said? So part of us doing the works is asking in his name, praying. You know, I used to work at a bank. For the first 4 years of pastoring, I worked at Ephrata National Bank. For the first year, we commuted from Ephrata to here until we bought a house up in this area. And I'd work at the bank. And if people were sick, I would say to them, I'd say, could I pray for you? And normally, I'd go in the back, I'd just say a quick prayer, and I'd pray for them. I'd lay my hands on them, I'd pray for them. Every job that I worked at, I had the opportunity of praying for people who were sick. You know, the Bible says in Mark, believers, any believers in the house tonight? You shall lay hands on the sick, and what? They shall recover. See, so you gotta lay your hands on someone who's sick, knowing that they're gonna recover. You got recovering power in your hands. You've got recovering power in your hands. Why? Because we believe in him, and whoever believes in him can do the works that he did, and greater works shall we do, because he goes to the Father. Jesus' job is done. What did he say on the cross? It is finished. His part was done. Now you and I have the opportunity to get in the game. So let's get in the game, amen? So what were some of his works? Go to Acts 2:22. Acts 2:22. It says, men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs. What was his accreditation? He went to Miracles, Signs, and Wonders University. He got a degree in miracles, signs, and wonders. Why? He was accredited in miracles, signs, and wonders. That's what the NIV says. And which God did among you through him. Who did the work? See, he just needed a vessel. Did you know that you're a vessel of honor? Meet for the master's use? Prepared unto every good work? Did you know that you were prepared for good works? Before you were born, God had a plan for your life. And he had all kinds of good works that he wanted you to do, that he created you to do. Good works. And you weren't going to do these works alone. He was actually going to do them through you. He just needed the vessel. So he planted you in the family that he planted you in. Thank God for your parents, because without your parents, you wouldn't have been here. Don't care how your parents treated you. Doesn't matter. God used them to bring you to the earth. And let me tell you something, if you had a bad family experience, God can redeem you and bring you into the good family of God. Amen? He can multiply your brothers and sisters in a minute. Did you know that we have relatives in heaven and on earth? Man, you're part of the biggest family that has ever been created. The Brady Bunch ain't got nothing on us. But let me just read this again. You men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, signs, and wonders which God did by him in the midst of you. Where did he do the miracles? Where people were. Miracles occurred where people were. On the beach, in church, in the marketplace, in homes. There's no limit to where miracle signs and wonders can occur. Miracle signs and wonders were not just designed for these four walls. I mean, have you ever tried to wash your clothes without putting it without getting the soap out of the box or the container? Imagine if you had a jug of Tide and you never took the lid off and you just threw that jug into the washing machine. Is your clothes going to get washed? No, you got to take the soap out of the container in order for it to clean. See, there you got to take some things out of the container. You've had some things contained. It's time to take the lids off of your container. Some of you need to be shook up, and when you shook up like a soda, it goes everywhere. Oh, when you get shook up by the Lord, then you can go everywhere. So Jesus was a man approved by God through miracles, signs, and wonders, which God did. God's still doing them today. They're called his works. And you are the workmen. When you signed up to receive Jesus Christ as Savior, your name was written in God's book of life, the Lamb's book of life. And you signed up for something that you may not have been aware of when you signed up. You actually signed up for selective service for God's army. Now, I've never served in the natural army, but I'm serving in God's army. Amen? You are part of a mighty army, and you are here to occupy until he comes. You are here to cast out devils, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, heal the sick, freely give because you freely received. You have been armed with the most potent weaponry system ever designed. Praise and worship, the name of Jesus, the blood, the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, which is a double-edged sword. You have been armed with a shield and a belt of truth and a helmet and a breastplate of righteousness and feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You have been called into battle, and there is a battle raging on between light and darkness, good and evil, God and the devil. And the devil has nothing on God. Matter of fact, the Bible said that he who is in you is greater. Everybody say greater. Than he who is in the world. If, you know what? I love the story of Lester Sumrall. He heard a noise in his house one time, and he woke up, and he went downstairs, and it was the devil. And Lester looked at him and said, "Oh, it's only you," and went back to sleep. Why? We have authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of who? The enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. So the devil is working to bind you, to confine you, to restrict you, to hinder you, so that you don't go do the good works that God called you to do. The devil, his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy if he can. Now, he walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may. Did you know that the devil knocks on your door and says, "May I destroy you?" And he says it with a smile. He says it, he puts it in a beautiful package, but he's the father of lies. The truth is not in him. He can't tell the truth. He has never experienced love. Do you realize that? The devil in his state now can't even comprehend what love is. Because he has so far alienated himself from God. Go with me to Luke chapter 13. See, the Lord tests you to encourage spiritual growth and bring out the best in you. But the devil tempts you to bring out the worst in you and to encourage spiritual immaturity. See, the devil wants you to remain immature because then you're not a threat. Because when you figure out who you are in Christ and you become confident in who you are in Christ, the devil can't mess with you. You become a threat to his kingdom. And he does everything he can to try to prevent you coming in to the knowledge of the truth. The attitude you take to our difficulties determines the direction you'll go, either up or down. Your attitude in the midst of difficulty will determine the direction that you're going to go. Amen? I'm going up. I don't know about you. In order to pass the test and grow, you've got to trust God and obey His word, even when there's no physical evidence whatsoever. Everybody say, grow. When your body grew, did you undergo some growth pains? I remember when I was a boy, my heel hadn't fully formed like it should, and the cartilage in between the heel plate and the rest of the foot, every time I stepped, it was like it was pulling it apart. They called it an Achilles heel. And every time I lifted that foot, it would be painful. But the doctor said, you know, they gave me some special, I went to a foot doctor, and they gave me some special inserts, and they said I'd grow out of it, and I eventually did. Some things you grow out of, amen? Now, if a person chooses to remain in a position of unbelief, how do you do that? Complaining. You know, complaining is disobeying the Lord. And you'll fail the test and you'll remain immature. See, God tests people, but people tempt God with their attitudes and their words. Tempting God means to deliberately adopt a position of resistance. You get a Clint Eastwood attitude, go ahead. Make my day. God tells you to do something and you like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. No. And it reveals how much or how little you've grown. Luke chapter 13, there's a story here of Jesus doing some work. We're going to look at this story. Verse 10. Luke 13, 10. And he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. Everybody say he was teaching. Maybe it was a setting like we're in tonight. Jesus was up there. He was teaching. He wasn't building cabinets or building tables or building chairs. He was teaching. He was a carpenter at one time because his father was a carpenter. Who knows how many chairs and tables and things he built? Amen? But God transitioned him into what he had for him. And he was in this church and he was teaching. Verse 11. And behold, there was a woman. Everybody say a woman. Which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years. I want you to notice this woman didn't use her infirmity as an excuse not to come to church. Come on now. Was he teaching? Where was he teaching? In the synagogue. Where was this woman? In the synagogue. She's had this infirmity for 18 years and she's in church. Praise the Lord. And she was bowed together and could in no wise lift herself up. So she walked like this 18 years. It's just, see, 18 years, she didn't have the right information. 18 years, she didn't have the right connection. 18 years, she didn't know that she had a spirit of infirmity. She didn't know why she was in this position. She didn't know why this was happening to her. But thank God she knew where to go to get the answer. And when Jesus saw her, when Jesus looked at her and he said, I got to do some work there. Amen? You know, it's like an artist looking at a masterpiece, and he's got this vision of what he wants to do in this masterpiece. He recognized immediately that her being bowed in that condition was not his work. Jesus saw her. He took notice of her. You know what? God's got your number. He knows how many hairs are on your head. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what your motive is. You can't hide your true self from God. And if God wants to get a hold of you, he knows exactly your number. He knows your email. He knows how to best wake you up when you need to be woke up out of your sleep. He knows how to get in touch with you. Question is, are you listening? When the phone rings, pick it up. It just might be God. Jesus saw her, and he called her to him. That's the first thing that God's going to do. He's going to call you to him. See, when he wants to do something in you, you got to draw closer to him. You can't do it on your own. You can't do it without him. Even Jesus said, I can do nothing of myself. No such thing as a self-made man in heaven. You know what? Of course, some of you have heard this before. You know what the theme song in hell is? I've did it my way. So Jesus saw her. He took notice of her. And he called her to him. He said, woman, he said, you. And she's like, yeah, you. I'm talking to you. And he said unto her, woman, see, the devil or God does not like the devil's work. He doesn't like when people are confined, when they're bound, when they're chained, when they're restricted, when they're hindered. Because the Bible says, whom the Son sets free is what? Free indeed. He said, woman, thou art loosed from their infirmity. So I guess Jesus is in the loosing business. 18 years, this woman, it took her 18 years to get the word from God that she needed. And one sentence, woman, thou art loosed from their infirmity. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. He didn't notice. And he laid his hands on her. Woo, when God gets a hold of you and he lays his hands on you. So he spoke the word. See, he sent his word. Psalm 115, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them. So he spoke to her. Then he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight. The moment he said those words, the devil knew that he lost his grip. The devil knew that he couldn't stay. The devil knew he couldn't keep her down. He couldn't keep her bound. He couldn't keep her restricted. He couldn't keep her refined. One word from God set this woman free for the first time in 18 years. And she was made straight. And what did she do? She glorified God. I bet she might have took off running. Woo! If you've been sick for 18 years and all of a sudden one word sets you free, you get a little excited. You get a lot excited. She glorified God. Verse 14, and this went over really well with the crowd. And the ruler of the synagogue, he was the senior pastor, answered with indignation because that Jesus healed on the Sabbath day. He's more concerned about a day than he is a person. This is called religion. A religious spirit. See, people with a religious spirit, they're bound so tight like a golf ball. They hit the pavement and it bounces. They're bound so tight by legalism. They're bound so tight. You got to do this. You got to do that. You can't do this. You can't do that. Hair's got to be this way. Pants got to be this way. Bound. If they'd break a smile, they might crack their face. You know, like, I remember sometimes ladies would put egg white on their face, you know, and it would stiffen up like this. They're trying to deal with the wrinkles. See, a religious person is like this. Can't raise your hands, can't laugh, can't dance, just sit there. That's religion. That's not Jesus. Jesus came in that place to shake religion up. He came to do something on the Sabbath. He was more concerned about people than they were. And said unto the people, there are 6 days in which men ought to work. You know what? It's not by works, it's by grace through faith. And then, therefore, come and be healed. Can you imagine if you needed healing, you'd have to schedule a healing appointment with this guy because he doesn't heal on Sundays. Are you kidding me? Come on. But no, don't heal on the Sabbath. Listen, Sabbath means rest. He didn't even understand the meaning of the day. The letter of the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. There's no room for a fuddy-duddy Christian. Those believers who have been in pickle juice sit here, all dignified. Don't want to mess up my shirt. Don't want to mess my shoes. Certainly don't want to mess my hair. Of course, I got some of Gabriel's gel, and I don't think you'll mess this hair even if a big gust of wind came by. Verse 15, Jesus answered him and said unto him, you hypocrite, do you not each one of you on the Sabbath loose his ox or his ass from the stall and lead him away to watering? Oh, yeah, they would do that. See, they were hiding behind the cloak of hypocrisy. That was all the covering, and Jesus pulled the covers right off of them. He gave them a rude awakening. It's only rude to religion, but it's not rude from heaven. You understand? Some people are harder to wake up than others. Some people, you got to go to drastic measures to wake them up and get them into the things of God. Too many people resist. Yeah, you know, like the story of David. Israel had lost the ark. How can you lose the ark, which represented the presence of God? And at that time, Samuel's daughter-in-law had a son. They named him Ichabod, which meant the glory of the Lord departed. And through a series of events, you know, they put the ark in the temple of Dagon. And every day the Philistines would go into the temple, they'd find the statue of Dagon on its face. So they would prop the statue back up. Now, how vain is that? The next day they'd come in, the idol on its face. Finally, the third day they came, or whatever day it was they came in, the head and the hands were cut off. They realized, we better get this ark back to where it belongs. And they sent the ark on a cart. And so David, he wanted to have an ark welcoming service. And he invited all the dignitaries. He dressed up in his best kingly garment. And they started to proceed. They were carrying the ark on the cart, which it was designed to carry on the shoulders of the priests. See, so when you don't do things God's way, don't expect God's blessing. See, some of you are trying to do it your way. You don't want to give up what God tells you to give up because I like it. Yeah, but God says it's not good for you, but I like it. It's not good for you, but I like it. Okay, then have it. God will let you have it. He let Israel have a king, and that wasn't his perfect will. See, but when you're in God's permissive will, you get his permissive blessing. But when you're in his perfect will, you get his perfect blessing. So there was David. All the pomp, all the circumstance, all the religiosity. He brings that ark in. The ark starts to fall. Someone reached over to grab it. They were dead instantly. Because you weren't supposed to touch. You know, when God says don't touch, he means it. And make a long story short, David changed his heart. Aren't you glad for mercy? Aren't you glad that God gives you an opportunity to change your heart so that you can do things his way? Let me tell you something. God's way is a whole lot more fun anyway. So then David, he repented, and the ark stayed in Obed-Edom's house for a short time. And while it was in Obed-Edom's house, Obed-Edom was blessed. See, when you got the presence of God in your house, you're going to be blessed. And so the time came for David to bring it. Every time he would take a few steps, he'd stop and he'd make a sacrifice. He'd take a few steps, he'd stop, he'd look unto the Lord. And then finally the Holy Ghost hit him and he was like, woo! David was like, he was jumping up and leaping around wildly. He started to dance before the Lord. See, some of you are thinking, oh, I could never do that. Well, if you never yield, you can never do it. Did you know that when the Holy Ghost fills you, he doesn't move your mouth like a puppet? On the day of Pentecost, when the Spirit was poured out on everybody, the Holy Spirit didn't get in your mouth and go. He didn't move your mouth like a puppet. You had to move your mouth. He'll give you the words, but you got to do the talking. He'll give you the prompt. He'll say, do this. You'd be like, but I don't want to. Do it and watch what happens. You might be the spark that gets the party going. Listen, someone's got to obey. Well, that's what we pay you, preacher, for. My God, if it was up to me. It's not just up to me. Listen, I'm doing my part, but you got a part too. Your part is to yield to the Holy Ghost and do what he says to do, no matter what you think. We got to get past what we think. That's why this evening, to start off, I felt like we needed to laugh. I didn't plan that. It's not in my notes, but that's what the Holy Spirit wanted, so we did it. And it was good, wasn't it? See, you'll find out when you yield to God, it's fun. How'd I get in all that? Look at Let's go back to Luke 13, and I'm going to close. Verse 16. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, she was a woman of faith. How do you become a child of Abraham? By faith. We become children of God by faith, just like Abraham did. Listen. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound, who bound her? Satan. Not only did she have a spirit of infirmity, Satan dispatched this spirit particularly to her. Because he didn't want her to experience her rights and privileges as a daughter. Ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan has bound low these 18 years? See, she didn't know how to get free. Sometimes people don't know. That's why you need the knowledge of God. You need the preaching and the teaching of the inspired Word of God. And guess where you get that? Right here. Why do you think God established the church? Where do you think, who's the head of the church? Jesus. Who bought the church with his blood? Jesus. So, obviously, it must be important. Okay, I'm about to finish here. Be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath. What a better way to celebrate rest than someone getting straight. See, if you're crooked, God will straighten you out. If you got a crooked spine, he can straighten that spine. And look at this. When he had said these things, all his adversaries were ashamed. Yeah, the truth will put your enemies to flight. Amen? Okay. And all the people, what did they do? Rejoiced for all the glorious things that were done by him. So when you do God's work, it'll produce rejoicing. It'll give you a joy unspeakable and full of glory. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this word tonight. Lord, we thank you for the manifested presence of God, your mighty word, which gives us the rights and the benefits and the privileges. Your Holy Spirit shows us what all belongs to us. He reveals truth to us in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray that tonight sons and daughters will rise up and they'll take what they've been given. They'll take possession of their inheritance in the name of Jesus, and we give you thanks and praise and glory. Now, if you need prayer in your body tonight, I want to pray for you. Amen? If you just need a touch from God, if you just need prayer, if you need strength, if you need whatever you need, God's got it. Amen? Hallelujah. God's got it. So for anybody that needs prayer, I want you just to come up right now. Amen? Come up as a child of God. Ought not a child of God receive the benefits of the Father? Hallelujah. Oh, we're in the loosing business tonight. The loosing business. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. God can loose you from bondage and loose a blessing to you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. There's some room up here on this end. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. If anybody needs prayer, just come on down this end here. Oh, you're fine. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What's going to happen to everyone who believes? Amen. It's not by me. It's by the Holy Spirit and by God. So right now, receive the strength and the grace that you need. Right now, I speak rest and peace in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Someone say, praise the Lord. God is so good. Hallelujah. He's so good. Ha 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 ha. Ha ha ha. Oh, hallelujah. Ha ha ha. Thank you, Lord God. Caleb. Holla, stat, right? Calling Dr. Caleb, stat, Father, right now. Lord, just let a fresh touch of your grace and your love be upon him. And Father, this season that he's about to enter, Lord, I pray that you make him like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, who excelled out of every other student in the king's palace. Father, I thank you that he has a different spirit in him. And he's going to go with the grace of God. You're going to equip him with the scientific knowledge and the knowledge of God. And that combination causes miracles to happen. It releases the supernatural. And I thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for touching him. In Jesus' name, give him grace, Father, for what's ahead. Hallelujah. Oh. Well, you say, what's going to happen next week? I have no idea. But I know that God's going to be here. Next Wednesday is going to be our last Wednesday of healing. And then in July, we're going to talk about prayer. And then we're going to talk about it and pray. Amen? You can't just talk about prayer and not pray. So, whatever the Lord wants to do, in July, we're going to talk about prayer.
So let's pray for Saturday.
Yes. You can turn down the music.
Yeah, we're going to pray for Saturday. You know, Saturday we're having the yard sale here. But it's just an open door. Amen?